setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, here we go. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're joining a conversation about you, specifically who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how to get there. I am Ken, and we're coming to you live from our Ramsey Solutions World Headquarters in the Nashville, Tennessee area. So excited you're with us. 844-747-2577 is the toll-free number to jump in on the conversation. 844-747-2577. One of the questions I get a lot on this show through our callers, and then when I speak at live events and I do Q&A, is, hey, Ken, I need some help. I'm losing motivation. How do I get motivated? That's the basic question. So I just want to take a couple minutes and lead off today's show by helping you understand that motivation is not a feeling. It's just not. I think the way it gets talked about, it's like this magical feeling that overtakes us, and then we can go do great things because I'm motivated. It's not a feeling. It's not a feeling at all. I would suggest to you that motivation is an action. And when we understand that, we do understand that feelings are involved. Let's talk about how we get the right feelings, how feelings and emotions play into motivation, but motivation isn't itself an emotion or a feeling. So let's break it down. What's the root word of motivation? It's motive. What does motive mean? It's the reason for doing something. No matter what you're doing, how you're acting, whatever, what's your reason? What's your why behind why you're acting the way you are? Now, let's break down the word motivation totally. The root word is motive, and it means the reason for doing something. Ation, A-T-I-O-N, is a suffix. And for those of you who've forgotten everything you learned in fifth or sixth grade English, the suffix just simply means action. Ation means action. So it means acting on your motive. Motivation is acting on your motive. So motivation in and of itself is an active pursuit. Having a motive doesn't make you active. Acting on the motive is motivation. So, now that we've done a little word exercise, it's very simple. When you are feeling as though you don't have enough motivation, what you're simply saying is, I'm not acting enough. I'm not wanting to act on my motive. And so what you need to do is retreat back to the motive, the why. Why did you get into teaching? Why did you start this business? Why are you pursuing this degree? Why are you paying off debt? Why are you saving money? Why are you working the graveyard shift? Why are you in this high-pressure job? When you get back to your why, it clears a lot of junk out of your head and heart. And then the head and heart can align, and now we can act. But the reason we're not acting on our motive is because we have either given up on our why, kind of forgotten the why because of life. So you've either given up on it, you've forgotten what it is, and that is causing you not to move, not to act. So reconnecting with the why will automatically get the action, get the juice, I like to call, going. Just reconnect to your why. It's the vision, it's purpose, it's all of that together. This is what I want. It's why I want it. And now we'll have what we need to make the moves we need to make. 844-747-2577 is the number. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Sean in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Sean, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for having me on your show.
You bet, Sean. What's going on?
So, got a little dilemma for you. Last year, my wife graduated PA school, and we discovered Dave Ramsey a little bit before then, and she initially had this pediatrician job lined up right outside of school. Then COVID happened, and they were only able to offer her part-time. But because we were being so scrappy and we paid off all of our debt last year, she picked up another part-time job at an addiction recovery clinic as a PA there as well. And fast forward again, got out of debt, got our emergency fund. We're in baby step four now. And just about 2 weeks ago, both jobs offered her full-time. And throughout PA school, her dream was to be a pediatrician. She enjoys the work of the addiction recovery. The dilemma is, and I think what makes her feel most nervous about it and a little, you know, anxious and uneasy is that the pediatrician job is going to offer her about $85K a year for full-time, and the addiction recovery one's going to offer about $140K a year for full-time.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's got a wrestling match with her head and heart.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know.
Pediatrics has been her passion.
Yep.
She enjoys the other work. It's a lot less work than pediatrics. And so, you know, part of it is
a lot less work, like a lot more money.
Pediatrics would push her.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot less work, a lot more money.
So what
are your advice?
My advice is, I wish I could get her on the phone right now, but my advice is to simply.
She's at work right now, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. My advice is for you to set her free to follow her heart and encourage her that her head and heart are not in alignment, and the reason that they're not in alignment is she's allowing her head to dictate to her heart, and the way that this works is your heart should dictate to your head. So the head is saying, you are foolish, or other people are going to think you're foolish. We can't get where we want to financially as fast if I take the job that I've always dreamed of taking. Might be all three of those things. Maybe she thinks herself that she might be foolish if she takes the pediatrician job. Maybe she's worried about what others will say. Maybe she thinks that it's a dumb financial decision because you guys have scrapped so hard and this can just put you ahead so much more. You look at the numbers on paper, 140 versus 85. Woo! What am I thinking, right? That's the problem.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you want her to do?
Me personally, I want her to go ahead and do the pediatrician job.
Then tell her
I make 100 a year, so I don't think that we're in a position where we're hurting financially.
Tell her that.
I think for her, a lot of it is the stress of working so much more.
I get it, but that's a part of the deal.
Yeah.
But I also don't buy that a pediatrician can't have some type of boundaries. I don't buy it. You know that. So does she.
Yeah,
so work around it. What is her heart telling her to do? Say, honey, I think you should be a ped. You're going to make plenty of money. We are going to make plenty of money. I think you'll resent this. I think you'll resent this work, and I think you'll regret this decision if you don't choose what you love. Now, I'm going to support you either way, but I don't want you to think for a second that I'm worried about the money issue. I want you to do what you love, what you've always dreamed of. Go do it. Who cares what everybody else thinks? I'm in your corner. That's my advice. You tell her that, I think it'll set her heart free. Always follow the heart. When your head's trying to drown out the heart, you're not in the right place. This is the Ken Coleman Show. My friends at Bethel School of Technology have received the Best Value College Alternative Award by University Research and Review. They're one of only 15 institutions to receive this award because their online technology boot camp provides their students the most up-to-date tech training and highest chances of post-school employment. And it's a fraction of the cost and a fraction of the time. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman and get an offer of $1,000 to $2,500 off your tuition. That's betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. Helping you move from paycheck to purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show. There are 7 stages, a clear path up to your professional pinnacle. Get clear, stage 1. Get qualified as stage 2. Get connected as stage 3. Get started as stage 4. Get promoted as stage 5. get the dream job is stage six. Give yourself away is stage seven. What stage are you in? We're going to walk you through that clear path because we believe that you were created to fill a unique role. You are needed and you must do it. 844-747-2577. Now, beyond me coaching you, counseling you, cheering you on, we also have amazing resources at my website, kencoleman.com/store. kencoleman.com/store. Let me tell you, I just got a report today that our resume template package, it is a package of six fantastically designed, all different resume templates that are basically inspired by my free resume guide that has been downloaded by hundreds of thousands of people. So the team created six customizable resume templates built on my resume philosophy, which has helped hundreds of thousands of people. It includes instructions for building the resume, plus the 10 do's and don'ts of job applications. And you get six templates for, ready for this? $9.99. And I guess they're going bananas. So I don't talk about them much on the show, but people are buying them like crazy. So if you want to go check them out, kencoleman.com/store, $9.99. You get six different templates to choose from. You can mix and match and use them for different jobs and different applications. A great gift for your college student that needs an edge. So there you go, kencoleman.com/store. Buy something else while you're there too. My kids need shoes. Jeez, you know, Joe, kids are growing. Kids are growing, Amanda. Hey, go do the Coleman family a solid and buy something from your local kencoleman.com store. I'm kidding. kencoleman.com/store. All right, to the phones we go. Brennan is joining us in Howard City, Michigan. Brennan, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Brennan.
So, how are you doing today?
I'm living the dream. What are you doing?
Well, essentially, I'm 18, mm-hmm. and because I'm graduating high school soon, mm-hmm. I'm really looking at what my next steps are going to be.
Okay.
I really want to start working, but my trouble is that I struggle going into new situations with, like, huge anxiety. Like, I just kind of freak out. I struggle with even applying to those places because then I'm scared, like, oh, no, I'm going to get called in for an interview.
Yeah.
And I get scared of learning new things that are on a job because I feel like I have to perform for other people. And so I just is something I struggle with a lot.
Sure. How does this affect you?
I'm just trying to figure out how to get over that.
Yeah, I get you. I'm going to get you some help on that, okay? Because I'm not a licensed, mm-hmm. I'm not a licensed therapist, and anxiety is obviously a very real thing, and it can grip you in so many different ways. But what I am curious about is how that anxiety that you just described, how does that affect you in school?
So I got a 504 plan in school so that it would help me out with some of that type of stuff.
Did it?
Yeah, it did help me a bit.
So what are the things, are there anything transferable from how the 504 plan, and I'm familiar with that, by the way. I've got a child who has had a 504, so I'm very familiar with that. How would that, what are some learnings, what are some things that you could translate from that and how you were able to deal with school a little bit easier due to that anxiety? How do you think that might translate to the workplace? Anything at all?
Yeah, so I'm just kind of looking for a situation that I can get in at a workplace that would be something that wouldn't necessarily trigger that anxiety.
Okay, so what triggers it?
Just not knowing what I'm doing, honestly.
Okay, so what's this thought?
Feeling like I'm at a loss.
Okay, great. So you've got a thought. You're about ready to share. Hit me with that.
Oh, yeah. So I absolutely love training people, like in a gym. I love coaching for nutrition and doing all that type of stuff. And every single time I've ever done that, I just don't feel that at all. I'm not nervous because I'm familiar with it, and I love doing it. I'm enthusiastic with it.
There it is, young man. Motivation. Young man, you have just answered your own question, and I'm proud of you. The secret to you overcoming anxiety in the workplace is exactly what I teach every day on the show. You use what you do best, your talent. You're really good at it, so you got confidence, yes or no?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we do something we love, so we're not thinking about everything else. We're going, oh man, I'm excited. I get to talk nutrition. I get to train somebody. And then we do that work to create a result that makes our hearts full. Why do you love talking nutrition with people? Why do you love training people?
My thing is, I feel like I really connect with them on it because I've been there. Like, I was a super, super skinny kid. Couldn't even wear t-shirts in school because I just hated like the size of my arms and all that. So when I can help other people to kind of overcome those types of feelings and to become the best version of themselves to feel better.
There it is.
I just love that feeling because I know how they feel.
There it is. There it is. Brennan, you just bottled it. That's your mission. Your mission is to use what you do best, your talent. To do work you love, your passion. Training people. Creating nutrition plans for them. To accomplish the results that matter to you, mission, and your results that you're driving for people is you want them to achieve physical growth as a so that they can have more confidence and they have emotional growth tied to the physical growth. That's very, very niche to you. And that's why you're on this planet, my man. So I don't think you have any anxiety at all. I don't think you have to worry about anxiety at all. As long as you are working in a gym, and it may be as you're an 18-year-old coming out of high school, they may not hire you as a physical trainer yet. Who cares? Go get a job in a gym. Go get two jobs. Get two part-time jobs in a gym where you're in the gym all the time. And you know your way around the gym if I turn the lights off, don't you?
Right.
Come on, yeah, Brennan. Sure. Yeah, man. So here's the deal. So now I'd start at 18. You don't need to go to college to be a physical trainer. No. I don't even think you need to go to college to be a nutritionist. Am I right?
Right. But with that, I'll also add, I am certified as a personal trainer.
Fantastic. Already,
and I'm very close to nutritionist.
All right. So, so then you know what? It's my fault. I should not have belied your youth. I just assumed you were in high school and focused on that. You already got your physical training stuff. Go get a job being a trainer. Go work at a couple gyms. Get to a point where you build a clientele. Eventually go work for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I am in high school. So it's certifications. You can get them at your 18.
Yeah, it's
so
fantastic.
As I was working through high school, I was also so proud
of you.
That.
I'm so proud of you, dude. So proud of you. So we don't need to worry about anxiety. Because the kid who called me 5 minutes ago is not the same kid I'm talking to right now, is he?
That'd be right.
Yeah, you're laughing.
I don't know where he went.
Oh, I know where he went. He went where he belongs. He went into the corner. He disappeared because he was fear, Brennan. He was doubt, Brennan. And fear and doubt aren't telling you the truth. Fear is lying to you, Brennan. Fear is telling you you have anxiety. And you're going to crumble. You're going to melt. And you're going to be embarrassed and humiliated and fired. That's what fear, Brennan's telling you. Why are you laughing?
No, I was trying not to.
Because I'm reading your mail. That's why you're laughing. No, I know.
No,
I'm nailing you, aren't I?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I've had some issues with that, with people just kind of saying that.
I know.
Like it was going to be an issue for me. So.
I know, but it's not. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't have a deep, abiding passion to help people transform their bodies. And as a result, transform their emotions. You're not in the physical training business. You're in the transformation business, Brennan. You're in the transformation business. You transform yourself. I know that you can help transform other people. You better go do that, young man. You hear me?
Yeah, you got it.
All right. Proud of you. There it is, folks. It's always about your why. Ain't no stopping, Brennan. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back, folks. This is the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you get clear so that you can confidently move forward and courageously stay on the path to fulfilling your purpose, doing what you were born to do. 844 844-747-2577 is the phone number to jump in. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Caleb in Temple, Georgia. Caleb, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking my question.
You bet. How can I help?
Backstory. As a kid, I always wanted to be a fighter pilot, but I hurt my eye and lost a side of my right eye, so I couldn't do that. Couldn't join the military. Went to college thinking I wanted to be a doctor and then bounced around. I was going to be a math teacher, coach football, and then I was going to be maybe a PE teacher and coach football. But I went to our kind of career center multiple times and took a test about, like, what career aspirations would you want? And, like, firefighter was, like, the second thing on the list. Well, I was graduating college and just started to go into the Cincinnati Fire Department in Ohio and got really close to about the polygraph test. But I gotten into grad school for my master's in higher education student affairs right before I did the polygraph. So I kind of had to let them know that or do the fire thing. Well, that was guaranteed. So I did that, got my master's degree, worked at a college for a year and realized that I didn't think that it was exactly what I wanted to do. Well, now I'm in the IBEW apprenticeship program, learning to be an electrician. But every time I listen to you on Dave's show, it doesn't feel like it's a sweet spot. And maybe it's just the job I'm on right now. We're building a hotel, and a lot of it's monotonous and just very repetitive work. But a lot of it, like, people are disorganized and they're kind of gross. And I'm like, my cart's nice and organized, and my stuff's organized. I think the material should be organized, and like, I like the structure of stuff. And I've always, that interest for fire has never gone away. And every time you talk about that question, if I could. You could go try something tomorrow. You don't have to stick with it. And I'm going to guarantee you success. What would you do? And firefighter keeps popping in my head. But my wife isn't really into it. Her dad was an electrician, so she kind of takes pride in the whole electricity thing. She thinks maybe it's just this job site and potentially that it's like there's other avenues that I could do electricity in, and maybe I'm just kind of burnt out. But I feel like I got to know.
Yeah, I feel like you're emotional. Am I hearing emotion in your voice?
Well, part of it's nervousness for being on talking to you, but also thanks that God had you guys call me back.
Yeah, man. You're doing great, by the way. You don't need to be nervous. But that emotion, man, that is pouring out of the top of your heart, dude. And there's several things going on there. But you're going to have to listen to your heart, or this thing relationally with your wife is not going to be good, because I think your wife intends well. I think maybe she has some fear. I think it's natural for a wife to have some fear and trepidation
about the dangerousness of it.
I get it. Being a firefighter, that's very real. So you have to honor her fears too. But brother, your heart's pouring out. What's driving that emotion?
I think it's I've always struggled with this whole passion thing. What am I meant to do? And I know the Bible teaches us that we're meant to spread God's word, and that's our main purpose. But at work, like, I want to be able to come to work and want to be here. I don't want to be looking at the clock constantly.
Yeah.
And right now, and again, it might just be this job
Nope. Caleb, sorry, I'm cutting you off. It's not the electric. You're emotional and crying because you long to serve people.
Yeah, like being that go-to guy, and the job I'm in right now in electricity, we call some people firemen in the sense that they get to go do the stuff that got missed or got messed up, and there's a fire we got to put out. Well,
Caleb,
why? I love being the go-to guy. I don't want to be the go-to guy to fix stuff that should have been done right the first time.
That's it, dude. You want to serve. You want to serve people. Your ultimate goal of work, which we call mission. So talent's what you do best. Passion is work you love to do. Mission are the results that you want to create with your work. And I would tell you that efficiency, which is what an electrician is essentially doing, solution, those aren't what drive you. It's service. Serving people. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah, I think there's part of that. I think that might have been part of the drive of student affairs or working with the youth at church. It's the kind of mentoring people, but also like just being the guy that
I know
wrong.
That's you. That's what I'm saying. In crisis, you want the ball. Give me the ball, coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me, I want you to answer this to the best of your ability in 30 seconds. I don't want you to try to say it really good. I just want you to let your heart fill this out. There's a reason why firemen. It's from a ways back. To the best of your ability, I want you to go back deep and I want you to dig and I want you to tell me, why have you always been interested? Why have you always been fascinated by being a fireman?
The kind of hero thing.
There it is.
One of my favorite movies is Pearl Harbor, so I wanted to be a fighter pilot. That looks cool.
Oh, my gosh. This is great. This is so great.
Yeah.
Great. All right. So, Caleb, you just gave me something that I haven't mentioned on the show in a long time, but I'm going to tell you that you just verified it. So one of the things I'll do with people, and I don't do it on the show because I'm teaching talent, passion, and mission. I'm teaching the methodology. But I've sat with friends before and freaked them out by saying, tell me your favorite movie all time. And they'll tell me, and I'll say, tell me the character that you would play in that movie, the character that you resonate with the most. And they'll tell me. And then I'll say, tell me why. And they tell me why. And I go, that's a window into your mission, what you want to do and why you want to do it. So you watch Pearl Harbor, and you watch those scenes, these men struggling, and you watch those trying to save them and pull them out, and it connected to your heart. You're watching a movie. You're elbow deep in a popcorn bucket, and you're going, man, I want to do that. Am I right?
Yeah, just the do you have what it takes? Someone, Wild at Heart, it's a book, Wild at Heart, and it's the same for guys. It's
I know
the question that men answers, do you have what it takes?
Yep, that's it.
I just want to know. I feel like I have to know.
Well, you do know. Caleb, you know. By the way, I've been to a
next question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I said, my next question is, I have 3.5 years left of this apprenticeship program, which I've got a master's degree. I'm so tired of doing homework. It's not even crazy.
I know.
And I think I can do a year of homework. I'll buckle down, knock out a year. I can do that. I'm a good student. But this 3.5 years of trudging through homework.
No, stop. You need to become a fireman. And so you can be an electrician as long as it takes to become a fireman. But as far as pursuing additional skills to be a master electrician, all that stuff, I would press pause on that. And if I were you, I would go, what is it going to take? What are the qualifications to become a fireman? Yeah. And I'm going to start doing that.
So what about the whole, this makes a lot more money than that, and my wife wants to be a stay-at-home mom and is worried about the whole not seeing me.
Now, my wife's uncle was a 25-year fireman, retired as a chief. He saw his family.
I guess you would think that I would leave a 24-hour shift and then go work as an electrician and then you're just always going to be at work. But I kind of brought up the fact that, if I'm a foreman, as an electrician, I'm going to be working overtime a lot and then coming home and working on print. So the same thing is, you ain't going to see me or really get quality time regardless.
Yeah, but here's the problem. The way you set that up is, it's her argument versus your argument, and that's a relationship problem. This is not an argument. This is a, hey, babe, this is what God put me on this planet to do, and I need you to trust me. I need you to support me. Now, I understand your concerns about my safety, and I want to sit down. I want to hear your heart, and I want to address that. You got to let her talk. You got to hear her out. She got to go, this is what I'm supposed to do. And yes, I'm going to work these longer days, but I'm at home. And as far as money goes, you could do some electrician work, contract work on the side. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean you're not home earlier on those days. This idea that she's never going to see you and you're going to see the kids, that's false. So address that.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you're going to take a huge pay cut, not once you get going, you're going to get great benefits and everything else and retire and blah, 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 and all the things. So you just paint a vision for how you're going to take care of her and allow her to be a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah. Well, last question, should I finish this apprenticeship program, get my journeyman's ticket, that way I can come back to electricity whenever I need to?
Yes. I got to go. I'm going into break. Here's the deal. You do what you need to do to allow you the opportunity to make good money as an electrician when you're not in the firehouse. Do that. Don't do anything extra. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. All right, let's go to Robert now. Let's see if we can get him back here in Hebron, Indiana. Robert, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. I just have a situation that I wanted your advice on. So I am currently employed. I have a salaried position with a company, but I just got presented with an opportunity to make $50 an hour for about 6 months, which would be more than what my salary is for the whole year.
Wow.
So I was wondering if I should jump on this opportunity and kind of work that for 6 months while working to where I want to be, because this job I'm in, I like it, but it's not where I want to be full time, like in the future. And I was wondering if I should, you know, take this job, this contract for 6 months and work it while working on myself to get to a better place. Yeah, I guess that's just my question, to leave something that is secure. And I know I have a paycheck to go something to that's just more risky, you know, jumping a job. It's just scary.
Right. Well, wait a second. Is it that scary when you're going to make more money in 6 months than you would an entire year? What's scary about that?
I guess I know, like, it has like an expiration date, which is the scary part. So I know that it like forces me to work on myself to get where I want to be after that contract.
Yeah.
Ends.
All right. Pause. That's beautiful. Where do you want to be?
I want to be a police officer.
And you're doing what right now?
I work in a management role for a construction company.
Yeah. And you're about ready to walk into a situation that for 6 months, you're going to make more in 6 months than you would the entire year. That's going to put you so far ahead financially. And by the way, that would require you to leave something that you don't want to do long term anyway. So let me ask you this. Is it possible that you can get qualified or start taking steps towards being a police officer while in the 6 month job, or no?
Yeah, I think so. And, I mean, there's in where I live, there's, you know, openings for police officers all the time. You know, I just feel like everywhere I go, I see it and I'm able to work on myself. You know, I'm pretty physically fit, but I need to be more physically fit.
Yeah. That's my question. Give me real talk here. What do you have to do to get qualified to be a police officer in your area? What do you have to accomplish?
I need to probably study a little bit and learn laws. So when I go to take a qualifying test, I don't totally bomb that. And then I just need to work out, and just like tone up and be more physically fit, you know,
right,
be able to run, you know.
Right. But here's the deal. So there's the classroom stuff you got to know. Then there's the physical test you're going to have to take. But even if you do the qualifying, doesn't mean they're going to hire you right away. Correct?
Correct.
So my point is, I think that you have to ask yourself, what is really the big risk here? I'm going to have to get another job regardless. So really, you're not going to step right into the police force, I don't think. Are you thinking that's possible?
I do think it's possible.
Okay, here's what I want you to do. So I didn't know, and I'm not questioning you as in I doubt you. I'm questioning you from a knowledge standpoint. You need to go talk to some people locally. You got to know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody in the police department, right?
Yeah, I actually know a lot of police officers.
All right, sit down and talk with them and go, hey, here's my deal. I got an opportunity to get a big pay bump. It's a six-month deal. How reasonable is it to believe that I could get qualified and get hired within a month or two of that six-month deal, or even before the six-month deal is up? Ask them.
Yeah.
Because you don't know.
That's just scary, is having the unknown after that.
Yeah, but
after that contract ends.
I know, but you didn't hear what I just said, did you? You were too busy thinking. Well, talk to some police officers and find out how realistic it is that you could be qualified and hired before the six-month contract would be up. And then, if it's not possible, how many more months past the 6 months? At which point, let's just say they came back and say, it's reasonable to believe in 9 months, which means you'd have to find a gig for 3 months. But you just told me you finished a gig that's going to pay you more than you'd make in an entire year in 6 months. So you could save that money and you'd be fine, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Come on, Robert. You're not being crazy. You're not being risky. Think this thing through and look and think about what you would have to do. And you got 6 months to find a replacement job if the police thing doesn't come through or won't come through that quickly. But you got more money. Save it. You have to live off of some of it, dude, to get you where you want to go. You got this, Robert. This is the Ken Coleman Show. helping you get unstuck and then on purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show. So excited to have you with us. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. All right, let's try Dana in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Dana, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
All right, Ken.
There
we
go. I'm good. How are you, Dana?
Great. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
Well, for the last 8 years, I've been working at a family business, a consulting firm, and I really like what I do. I like the money. I love the people that I've met and the industry that I'm in. I recently have been just thinking about the way that we go to business, and personally, with the family, I just am not seeing eye to eye with things, and it kind of has always been that way, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm wanting to try something new. I think that it can add a lot of value if I go into a firm, maybe like a firm that I call on.
Okay.
But since the industry is small, like, I just don't know if, well, one, they would hire me because it's like a conflict of interest. I'm also considering like starting my own consulting firm, but that would be in competition with my family then. And I don't really want to, you know, ruin ties there.
So you love the, so if I understand, you love the work that you're doing for your family business.
For the most part, yeah.
Okay. But you don't want to do it for the family, and you're not in line to be an owner one day?
Well, I kind of am.
What's the big conflict?
It's really, I guess the way that we're going to business now seems sloppy to me. And we're not really organized.
Have you brought this up? Many times, right?
Yeah, I have before. Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, and also it's very small. So a part of me thinks that a bigger firm with a little bit more organization would be beneficial for me. But also, like, I can see our consulting firm getting bigger, like, with more assistants. But it's just really hard being a small company, taking it to that next level.
Right. So explain to me the conflict of interest that you mentioned. You said it might be a conflict of interest if you went to work for another consulting firm?
Yeah.
How?
If I'm calling on an account, like our group is calling on an account, and let's say I go and I apply to that account, they know me in the industry and there's a lot of competition. So my consulting firm is still calling on that account. Now it's my brother-in-law calling on me. They might just have some problems with that. I'm not giving other reps in my area, you know.
Okay. So the way you're painting, I don't think this is as complex as you're making it sound, but you've got me even kind of going, all right, okay, what's the real issue? I think the real issue is that either you believe that if you put your foot down and go, look, I want to be here long term, or I'm open to it, but I'm not if it stays this way. I've brought this up before. It's not going anywhere. Are you all willing to make the changes or trust me to allow me to make the changes and try to prove it? If you're not, then I got to be okay with you guys being disappointed if I leave. Then that's the first issue. Then there's the conflict of interest, which I don't recommend, and I don't think you're recommending either. So I would stay away from any hint of impropriety so that you don't ruin the relationship, because it is family. Yeah, on one hand, you'll disappoint them if you leave, but they'll get over that if you leave the right way and you leave to the right thing. But if you do it the wrong way and there's a conflict of interest, now we got a big problem. And so then that leads to the third issue is, if you love the kind of consulting work you're doing, I got news for you. You can do that in a lot of places outside of Hebron, Indiana, for heaven's sakes. So I'd go. I'd say, fly, little bird, fly. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. Now, that's my quick analysis because it's kind of been all over the place. Am I off or am I on? How can I help based on what I just said?
Yeah, I think that my real concern is even applying to these accounts, like how they would view me as an applicant. And
wait a second. I don't understand why you have to apply to accounts that are connected to your family business. I'm saying, if you know the kind of consulting you like to do, broaden your horizons. Why? I'm still confused as to why you feel your only opportunities are in area of conflict. when I just told you that's not a good idea. So help me. Am I missing something?
The industry that I'm in is like in design and furniture. So I like working with design and furniture. I guess the accounts that I would be calling on, that would be the industry that I want to stay in.
Yeah, but how is that a conflict with your family business? You're saying they provide consulting services to the same, they provide them to everybody right now? They exist.
Yeah.
Your current family business consults for every furniture maker in the United States.
No.
But you see my point?
Yeah, I do.
I'm being ridiculous to show you that you're kind of being ridiculous.
I guess a part of me is just fearful for next steps. And
yes,
I think,
I get
you
it.
Know, I like the consulting so and the flexibility that it gives me.
So here's the thing. Where does it become a conflict of interest? To the best of my knowledge, I'm limited here on your business, but I'm trying to help mm-hmm. you get to a place. I'm trying to drag you with me. Okay. Cause you don't need to be so scared. You also don't need to be so worried about this. Either your family business has a set group of furniture design or building clients, and they got this current list. I understand they might call on everybody in Indiana or in the region, but they currently only have this list. Am I right so far?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong. I said Hebron because that was the call I took earlier. I'm sorry. Minneapolis. Yeah. Okay. But my point is either they got a current list of clients or not, and they do, right?
Yeah.
Well, what's keeping you from leaving those alone? You never touch those clients. That's the conflict. But if you go out and you pitch other people that they're not currently serving, then I don't see that that's a conflict. Are you competing against them? Yes. That's problematic, but it's not conflict of interest. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, you're right. It would be like more of the competition.
So if you're stuck in Minneapolis, then that's going to be a point of tension. But if you decide I'm going to go to the Southeast, then they're probably not even looking for clients in the Southeast. Or, you know, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, we did toy with the idea of moving out of state at one point, but we do want to stay in this area. So.
All right, so now you're limited. So now if you want to stay in this area, then you're going to have to decide what is the path for the least amount of tension.
I mean, a part of me thinks find a new job with an account that I'm working with right now because I have great relationships with them. If they see my application, they go, "Oh, that's interesting that Dana's looking for a new job. What's going on with
nothing?" Don't be so scared of that. Don't be so scared of it. Go, "Hey, you know what? Family business isn't for me. I love my family. I'm just not supposed to be in business with them. And so I'm going to now do for you full time what I did for a bunch of companies through consulting. Now I'm going to be your in-house person." It's great. There's nothing to be ashamed of there. Am I missing something there?
But here's the thing. Now I'm in that account and my brother-in-law is calling on me and trying to sell me his product, and accounts might not like that because I am going to choose his product over others.
Let them decide. You don't know that. Let them decide. Okay. If they're interested and you've got a great relationship, let's go, "Hey, here's the deal. How would that make you feel if my brother-in-law calls on us? Would you want a checks and balances on that situation?" "Sure, I'll put a checks and balance on that. You can run that by me and I'll be the one that decides on that particular product. Everything else you handle."
Okay.
That didn't sound too difficult to me. I don't know. But I don't know anything about what you do. But to me, you're overthinking this. Why don't you have a conversation or two and see what's out there? I think that you're in a situation that we all get in, Dana, where we've got some options, some ideas, but we don't know really what's at the end of the path. And instead of digging deeper to try to see what the end of the path looks like, we just create this narrative that's so scary, and it's not that scary. Hey, my time is almost up. But before I let you go, I want you to know that you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, this is The Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. You can listen to myself, Dave Ramsey, Rachel Cruz, or the rest of the Ramsey Network anywhere with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. Catch all of our full shows, browse by topic, or send clips to your friends. Head to the App Store and download the Ramsey Network app today.